The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's always a great pleasure to welcome to the PK Show, I've been in for Pat this week, Conor Faughnan, who has a lifetime of knowledge and he's forgotten more than we'll ever know about the entire motoring and transport sector. And one of the things we're going to talk about, because he's also a member of the Injuries Board, and there's interesting stuff going on in relation to that and outcomes political changes that might be coming down the track for awards and all affecting motor insurance. But we are expected to get a heat wave of over 30 degrees. I'll believe it when I see it, to be honest with you. I was told about this, and I'm coming in before 7 o'clock, and it's still quite chilly in the morning. Yeah. So bring it on, I say. But I had no idea of the danger of cars and inside cars within hot weather.
Yeah, and we have a heatwave forecast. Woohoo! And we've had a bit of hot weather. We get hot weather from time to time, but we're not set up for heatwaves. And Met Aaron's definition is over 25 degrees centigrade, 5 days running. A very rare event in Ireland. They wouldn't blink at it in Spain. So we're not set up for it. So like when we get a drop of snow in the wintertime, and you know, something that they would laugh at in Finland brings us grinding to a halt, we're not set up for a heat wave either. And one of the things, we did a really interesting video with the AA a few years ago where we parked a car in the sunshine. It was 24 degrees and we set up a little thermometer and timer and locked the car and watched the heat climb. Within 12 minutes, it had hit 40 degrees. Inside the car. So that is a real danger. That's hot enough to kill a pet dog, for example, if you left the poor dog in the car. And there have been, not too many in Ireland, but there have been tragedies with children locked in cars, etc. It gets much hotter, much faster than people will appreciate. And that can catch Irish people out. It's going to happen this week, I'd say.
So what is the savvy advice?
Well, park in the shade if you can, or be cognizant of where you are parking. And also, we've had fire started inside cars by things like, I remember an AA call out years ago, there was a vanity mirror left on the passenger seat. And the sun focused by the rays of the mirror set fire to the upholstery in the car. Our guy arrived, the car was on fire. So I guess a little bit cognizant of those sorts of dangers. Now, when you're driving, road temperatures can get extremely hot as well. And again, if you've got an air temperature of, say, 27, 28 degrees, the temperature of the tarmac on the road can actually be over 50 degrees. So it gets really, really hot. So much so that, you know,
like, I'd be heading for the pub at this stage. I'd be dying of the droot. But you're not recommending that.
I'm not recommending that. No.
And the road gets so hot. What are you suggesting?
You always say drive with care. And we should be, we have a heat wave coming and great. But when we've had really severe hot weather, I mean, I recall in 2010, the heat wave, an issue arose where the road surface was literally melting. And as HGVs were using the roads, they were rutting them. So you now have kind of unseen ruts and bubbles on motorway level roads, potentially very dangerous, and they needed expensive repair thereafter. And now when you build a road in Ireland, you're engineering for Ireland extremes. So if you're building a motorway in Spain, you know you're going to have super hot road temperatures. You pick your composite accordingly. If you're doing it in Finland, you know you're going to get minus 20 to build accordingly. You know, we're building in Ireland, we're building for temperate climates. So when you get super hot conditions, like when you get super cold conditions, we're not set up for it. And some of our infrastructure isn't built for it either.
Just while we have it on fires, is it an urban myth that electric vehicles are more prone to having a fire?
No, they have a different type.
Have you heard the myth?
Well, there are electric vehicle fires. There are lithium battery fires. They're very scary. They're very different in character from a gasoline explosion. But, you know, since the early years of motoring, we know that petrol explodes and can be a very, very dangerous
thing.
So it has to be managed with great, great care. A lithium battery also has to be managed with great, great care. And if it's defective, if it gets in contact with water, it can catch fire. And that's a very dangerous thing. So at the moment, we've got a rule on public transport, for example. You can't bring your e-scooter on public transport. Theoretically, it's because of the danger of a lithium fire. But actually, the fires are very rare. It's a silly rule. We're a little bit paranoid about it. So we're a bit paranoid about electric vehicle fires, but, you know, they do exist. So a degree of paranoia makes sense.
Now, one of my pet hates, and it's a sign of a fraud, is if they wear sunglasses on their head inside, you know, inside, right? But you're recommending sunglasses in driving in the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Spain, for example, it's illegal to drive a car unless you have a pair of sunglasses in the car with you. It's one of those things because you're going to need it all the time. And in Ireland, you need sunglasses a lot more often than you think. Even in a winter day in Ireland with that low sun in the sky, often glare can be a very big issue. But obviously on days like what is forecast for the coming week, glare from the concrete and just the general brightness of the environment can be very hard on the eyes, and it can be very, very difficult to see properly. So a pair of sunglasses is, you know, not a luxury for posers. It's actually something you need.
And what about, you know, when you're in traffic and the car radiator fan comes on?
Mm.
And we've had a problem that with a particular car we had, that we had to get a whole reconditioning of the car simply because it just wouldn't go off. It was overheating, even on long journeys. What advice would you give when you suddenly hear you're stuck in traffic, it's a hot day, that the radiator fan is on?
Yeah.
Should we be concerned?
Yeah. Well, old-fashioned cars will break down in the old-fashioned way. We were talking about lithium fires, but a traditional combustion engine can overheat. Literally, it can get too hot. It's much more likely to do that on a very hot day. The more modern the car, the less likely that is. And often cars will cut themselves off while sitting in traffic, so they'll just sit there idle. So it's less of a problem than it used to be. But it can still overheat physically. There will be more mechanical breakdowns. In the UK, they're warning, they're more severe heat wave than us, and they're warning that if you're out and about, what would happen if you got stuck in motorway traffic, for example? Let's say the M50 was a snarl and you have to sit in it for an hour and a half. Look, bring water. You know, the AA UK recommend have at least a litre of water for every passenger in the car. Think about what might happen if you do get stuck. For electric car users, you're going to be using the aircon. Great to have. Works great. Is really heavy on your battery. So you're going to need to make sure.
She'd have the aircon on and I'd have the window open. That is self-defeating.
Is self-defeating.
Because I like the fresh air.
Anyway. And you may not have your aircon in good condition, you know, because it needs to be serviced to keep the nitrogen up in it so it can deliver cold air as opposed to just a blower. Irish people often neglect that because you don't need it that often. But if you don't have it, you'll melt if you're stuck in traffic.
Now, one of your other areas of expertise is you are a member of the Injuries Board. Now, it used to be called the PIB, the Personal Injuries Board.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as.
It's
now the Injuries Resolution Board.
Okay.
And it's, you know, does a very good job of work and it's published its annual report. I'm a board member, so declare that. I don't speak for them, but Charlie Weston covers it well in The Independent today. It's in the Irish Times as well. And essentially, the Injuries Board has saved €76 million in legal costs last year alone because it provides the consumer with an easy, amicable and fast resolution system where there's been a personal injury. There's no argument as to liability. We just need to agree what's the appropriate level of compensation. And the beauty of the Injuries Board is it does that properly, independently, in a way that suits all parties and does it without incurring huge legal costs. So if those cases, and there's about 23,000 of them a year, you know, if they all went the legal route, even at minimal cost, it's a huge drain out of the system. So the presence of the Injuries Resolution Board has proved really, really helpful over the last 20 years for that. There's still a lot of work to do. And as Charlie Weston points out, we still have to make sure that savings are being passed on to the consumer by the insurance companies. We still, to my mind, still have an awful lot of wasteful litigation in the system that shouldn't be there. But, you know, thank goodness for the Injuries Board. It is, genuinely making a difference.
It provides a low cost way of giving people the same quantum of damages that they would otherwise nearly always get.
Yeah, that's right. And so there's a couple of things that need to be done. Firstly, we need to agree on what the damages are. And that's where a long piece of work called the Book of Quantum became so important. And that grew into the personal injury guidelines. Now, it's expected that they'll increase slightly.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about that because we covered this on Monday's show.
Yeah,
the Judicial Council, which is made up of lawyers and so on, and good luck to them, they recommended a 16.7% increase. And there was a bit of flack for Jim O'Callaghan, who's bringing this, a barrister himself, on the basis that are you just going to nod this through when, in many cases, for whiplash, the awards are 5 or 10 times that in Britain or that in the average of Europe. What I understand is that it didn't go to Cabinet yesterday, and there's a subcommittee on insurance reform made up of Simon Harris, Jim O'Callaghan, Peter Burke, Pascal Donoghue and Robert Troy. And they're now going to consider it today.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them? Because I'm saying, you know what, I mean, like there's lots of ways we could kind of reduce costs here, and this is all going to result in more insurance that maybe the reviews every 7 years. There were 70 submissions made. What would you say?
Well, let's be cognizant of some of the good stuff that has happened. I mean, when I first started commenting on this 20 years ago, an average motor insurance premium in Ireland would have been at least double its equivalent in the UK. That's now the other way around, literally. Motor insurance in Ireland is significantly cheaper than it is in the UK. Employer liability, public liability is still a problem for us, but a lot of those trends are in a better direction. So we've done a lot of good stuff. In terms of how much should we pay in compensation, there is inflation in that figure. But what we have to be really careful about is that when an award is made by a court or when an award is made by the Injuries Resolution Board, that the quantum is the same, that you don't get incentivized to go to the casino that can be court awards under the old system. So it has to be fair in that sense. Now, there will be cases when
and
a court
speedy,
is necessary.
Speedy is another.
Well, that's the other great advantage. In the system, the Injuries Resolution Board gives us much greater efficiency because, to simplify, it's done in 2 years as opposed to taking 6 years when the thing goes to court. So it's in everybody's interest, except the lawyers, to stay out of court as much as we possibly can, and not just court itself, but to use the threat of court as an integral part of your negotiations with the insurance companies. And the other thing I should say, in fairness, is that the second bit of it is are these savings being passed on by the insurance companies? That's a completely different question to ask, but that's something that they'll have to bear in mind as well.
Conor Faulkner, who is one of our foremost consultants and experts in the whole transport sector, thank you indeed for that. We have breaking news that I'm a big fan of the Red Bull team, Max Verstappen. I really, really.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.